Well, let's make our confession. I think we're going to have it up there because I know I don't have it memorized. That's not a good confession. But we're, okay, this one I do. Let's say it.
The Word of God
is true. If I live the Word,
I will be blessed.
If I don't, I won't. It's just that simple.
It's just that simple.
This one's awesome. Are you ready? I am here on purpose because I have a purpose. My heart is open. My mind is ready to receive because God is not finished with me yet. My best days are right in front of me. I have the victory in my life because Jesus lives in me. Glory to God. Let's give the Lord a hand. I peaked a couple of times there, so it doesn't really count. You can be seated. Good to have all of you in the house of the Lord. We're going to share about Harvey and the Hurricane Harvey and how you all can be involved in just a few moments here at the end of the service. And we're going to hook up with our friend Terry Henshaw, and it's going to be a tremendous blessing to people and everybody that gets involved. If you have your Bible, you can turn to the book of Romans chapter 12, and you know, whether you're a Republican, a Democrat, like Trump, don't like Trump, independent, libertarian, whatever you are, what you want to be, whatever, I just thank God, I don't care who the president would have been, any president that declares a national day of prayer, I like. Glory to God, we need to give the Lord a hand again. There are so many people that would have stuck their finger in the air, looked at, see which way the political stream is blowing, and say, well, I don't want to upset the ACL. What is it, ACLU?
Yep.
Need to explode the ACLU. Glory to God. It is just awesome to see that we can do that in this nation. And we're going to be talking in Romans 12 in just a moment, but Pam and I were at a football game Friday night, and Pam told me to take an extra sweater, and I didn't do it, and she was right as usual. Glory to God. That temperature dropped fast. But we watched Jeff and McCutcheon. It was a great game. First quarter, it was just about all McCutcheon. I don't know if we have any McCutcheon fans in here, but they really looked good the first quarter. And then the second, third, and fourth quarter, Jeff got it turned around and really kind of won going away. By, I think it was 28-10 or something like that. And Bill and Sue O'Brien's grandson is the quarterback for Jeff, and so we started going to go to some of the games this year. But this is football season. How many of you like football? It's just for me, it's fun to watch. I like all sports. I love baseball, but kind of boring to watch unless it's the World Series. I love basketball, pretty exciting. Football just seems to be something about football that it's a lot of fun to watch. So we were watching it, and as I was getting ready for this message, I was starting out, don't limit God. It fits somewhat in with the message of, you know, you serve a big God, and that don't limit God, and that God is going to bring us through in every situation we face. But the more I prayed about it, the more I kept hearing, don't limit the quarterback. And I thought, oh, that's silly. That's just because I was at a football game and, you know, I was just kind of thinking about a quarterback and all. And then I heard it again. By the way, how about Purdue University? Glory to God. They almost knocked off the number 16 team in the nation, I believe. And with a couple of less interceptions, they probably would have knocked off that team. I'm sure the coach had something to say to them about that. But anyway, it's football. Everybody say, it's football season. And whether you like football or not, well, the message is don't limit the quarterback. And that, let's all say it, don't limit the quarterback. And if you know a little bit about football, you know that the football team, whether they huddle up like they used to or so often now they don't huddle, they just the quarterback just shouts the play to all of the line and everybody there. But the quarterback is basically the one who makes sure that the call is made to the team. And so we have a quarterback in God who is calling the plays if we're listening. But if we're not listening, we can run the wrong play. And every once in a while, whether you're at a game or whether you're if you know much about football, the plays that are called are, you know, you don't necessarily throw the ball to where the person is. You throw the ball to where the play is called, and the person is supposed to be where the ball ends up. And sometimes you'll see a pass play where there's a lot of passing now in football. where that pass is thrown, and there's no receiver around it. And sometimes the announcer will say, "Whoa, he really was off on that one." And then another announcer will come in and say, "Well, maybe not. Maybe he threw it exactly right. Maybe the receiver did not run the route." Ask your neighbor, "Are you running the route? Was the receiver where he should have been, where that ball was supposed to be, but the person to catch the ball wasn't there?" And sometimes that's what it is, and it seems to make the quarterback look bad, but the quarterback didn't look bad. Quarterback ran the play with the pass exactly as it was intended. What all of the players have to do is to be keenly open to hear and to hear what the play that is called is. If you don't run the right play, then you're not going to have the result of what the play was designed to be. And if we look at Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, it is such a familiar scripture to you. I don't recall when I first heard it. I think I was out in Tulsa where my life was totally changed. But in Romans 12, 1 and 2, it seems to me like this is the key to life if you want to have the blessings of God and if you want to fulfill God's plan for your life. And it says that you and I present our body as a living sacrifice. There was a guy from Jeff. He was coming up to make a tackle on a guy who was sweeping the left corner for a McCutcheon, and the guy who came up to make the tackle didn't see the blocker coming from the McCutcheon team to set that runner loose. It was one of the hardest hits I've ever seen. Pam she went, "Did you see that?" And I said, "Yeah, I did. That kid's going to feel that tomorrow morning." But, I mean, you could feel the hurt all the way up in the stands when it happened. Sometimes we can get in a position where we just realize we need to suck it up and present our body. Turn to your neighbor. We just need to suck it up and present our body and move on. This is the way it is as we're running that play, but that's the way it's going to be. I think about Isaiah running that hill the last day of the crucible in the Marine Corps boot camp. And he said on the way up that hill, he said, "My legs, I couldn't even feel my legs." And I just said, "I can do all things. I can do all things. I can do all things." I think what he took was Philippians 4:13, right? And he shortened it. And instead of he needed all of his energy, instead of going, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me," he was just shouting, "I can do all things. I can do all things." And he wasn't sure he was going to make it. And he ended up first or second going up that hill, I think. But his body, I'm sure, told him after it was all finished, it had been through a little bit of a struggle. We need to realize that we are called to present our body as a living sacrifice, pure, holy, acceptable unto the Lord, which is just our reasonable service. I am sure that the coach for Purdue, no matter how hurt, beat up, or bruised some of those guys were, he's going to be showing them a film. And in this film, he's going to show them, "We could have upset those guys, and here's why we didn't." And he's going to show them where they missed it. I think it would be great if God gave us this giant replay of where we missed it, because God never throws a bad pass. Tell your neighbor, God never throws a bad pass. He never throws a bad pass. He's thrown it exactly where he's called to play. And if you're tuned in and if you're going to do what God's called you to do, you're going to see the victory that God has for you. And it goes on to say, that present your body as a living sacrifice, that we are not going to be conformed to this world, but we're going to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Now, this is the part that changed my life when I first heard it. So that we will know the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God. Everybody say, perfect will of God. What do we want? We want the perfect will of God. Sometimes we forget that part of it, and we tell God everything we want. I want more finances. I want more this. I want more that. I want more this. What we need more than anything, this is the most important thing in our life. What is the will of God? What is the will of God? What is the will of God? What is the will of God to heal Danny Jones? We know it's his will to heal Danny Jones. We know Danny Jones is healed right now. Now, God is going to show Danny his will to walk it out. God's going to show you his will as to how, we know it's his will that you have financial blessings. Now he's going to show you his will as to how you get positioned to receive them. If you're not running the right play, you're not going to be able to catch the pass. But the pass is coming. I heard Oral Roberts preach this many times out in Tulsa. There are miracles coming every day. They are coming your way every day. And if you reach up and take it, it's yours. And if you won't and you don't expect it, it's going to go right by you. And we have to be expecting it because we're running the right play. And sometimes when we understand this, it'll change your life and it'll take you way out beyond your comfort zone. See, when Jesus was on this earth, he had a quarterback. He wasn't the quarterback. Jesus was not the quarterback when he walked on this earth. His daddy was. And Jesus said, I don't do anything unless dad calls the play. Now, you won't find it exactly like that in the Word of God, but you will find it in John chapter 5, verse 30, when Jesus said, I didn't come to do my will. I came to do the will of the Father who sent me. I can't do anything unless it's the will of my Father. In other words, Jesus wouldn't run a play unless he knew it was the will of his Father. He wasn't the quarterback. He was setting an example for us so that we would run the play that God has set before us. Andy, you were in the building and you just built your own home and everything. I bet you had a plan. Or Lisa, did you just go out there and say, Lisa, I'm going to slap up a few nails in the way? He had a plan. He had a plan because of experience. Maybe he prayed over that plan. Maybe it was God's will for him to do it. Or maybe he did it because of experience. I don't really know. But he's ended up with a great finished product. And Lisa, are you happy? Well, happy wife, happy life. Glory to God. Way to give Andy a hand. He's okay. So, but what we've got to do is realize that everything in life has to be, what is God's will for my life? And he'll take you out there. And as I was getting ready for this message, I got a call from a friend. Actually, I decided to call a friend out in the Houston area. He was okay. He actually lives in Round Rock, Texas. And went to school with him. His name is Denny. And I went to school with him. He had gotten a really bad report. Now, I'm thinking about this message and not limiting God, and he's gotten a really bad report. And I said, Denny, I didn't realize that. And so we're talking and sharing. And he told me while we were talking, he said, I listened to all your messages, all the messages everybody preaches at Victory Online. And I told Pam, we need to find out how many people are really listening online to our messages. It was good to hear. I didn't know he did that. But he gave me this report. He's talking to me, and God is calling a play. How many of you can relate to what I'm talking about? Maybe not. Maybe you're not far enough into the message yet. But you're doing something, and you're starting to hear from God. The most important thing in our lives should be, am I hearing from God? Not what I need, but am I hearing from God? What is God's perfect will? Well, I felt the call, Denny, so I take that as God's perfect will, that I felt a peace about it in my spirit. Most of the time, when I'm led, it's by the peace of God. I don't necessarily know exactly why I'm doing it. I just have a peace to do it, so then I do think I know why I'm doing it. Colossians 3:15. So I called Denny up and I explained it to Denny, or talked to Denny, and then I said, well, Denny, I'm going to pray for you and pray for him. And I said, and this is what I'm hearing as I'm talking. Paul sent handkerchiefs and did unusual miracles, and you need to send Denny one and anoint it with oil and tell him to put it on his body. I'm hearing this as I'm talking, and I'm thinking about the message, not limiting God. I think, God, I don't even know where Denny is spiritually in that regard, although I did have the privilege of leading Denny to the Lord in Tulsa, Oklahoma many years ago. So Denny, if you're listening to this message, I do know where you are spiritually, but I'm not sure where you are with the handkerchief that's on its way. but anyway, as I heard that, I started to suppress the route that God wanted me to run. You with me so far? Wave your hand if you're with me. I started to suppress that route. And then the more I talked to him, the more I heard it. And I said, Denny, I want to share something with you here that might be a little ridiculous to you. I'm not really sure, but I feel like I've got a scripture for you, Acts chapter 19, verse 11 and 12, when Paul went about And they took the handkerchiefs that he had, and the people were healed when they would touch them. And I said, I feel like I'm to anoint a handkerchief and send it to you. There's a little bit of silence. And I said, I'm going to anoint it, and then I want you to put it on that part of your body. Sure, send it. I'm fine. I said, okay. So now I'm not feeling quite as ridiculous as I did. Except, I started laughing. I thought, I don't have any really clean handkerchiefs. My handkerchiefs look like they've been through. Now, this is a brand new one. I have six now. This is a brand new handkerchief because but all of my handkerchiefs, how many of you guys know what I'm talking about? You had a handkerchief for a year or two. You wash it, certainly, but it looks like it's been used for a year or two. And all of my handkerchiefs are like that. So I went to Macy's on a mission from God. I'm running quite a route. So I end up buying six brand new handkerchiefs, and then I think, well, I got to fluff it up or make, you know, the handkerchief had linen all over it. You know how the linen, you know, the loose pennants and all that stuff. So I'm cleaning up this handkerchief, and I thought to myself, it really is funny, but I thought to myself, I wonder if Paul did that. I wonder if he cleaned up the handkerchief first. But anyway, I sent a clean handkerchief, doused it with oil. This is so funny because I believe it's a miracle of God unfolding. I really do. I'm trying to run the right route. How many of you can relate to me so far about running routes? And you've run routes before, and it's like, how long is this route going to go? You know, now it took me to Macy's, now it took me to the handkerchief, now it took me to the anointing oil, now it took me to clean up the handkerchief. For some reason, God just gives me humor, I think humor. Pam doesn't know for sure if it's from God, but all I could picture was this, I'm running around like this, it was this, running the route was Forrest Gump. And when they find out how Forrest Gump runs, and they put him on, is it Alabama? I think it was Alabama. I'm not sure. I think that was the team in college. They stuck him in college, and they said, what do I do? I can't even take Forrest Gump. He said, what do I do, coach? And he said, Forrest, you just take the ball and run. Okay, coach. So they give Forrest the ball, and he runs all the way the length of the field, gets by all the defenders, runs out of the stadium, all the way out. And they said, where'd he go? I said, I don't know. I told him to run. And so he's running, he's running, he's running. I don't think about that. But anyway, so now I'm sitting, Pam, I didn't tell you this, but I'm sitting in the office, and I've anointed this handkerchief with oil from the Holy Land. And so I'm sitting at my desk, and I'm praying over it, and I say, God, I believe this is you. It's going to heal my friend Denny. And I put it in the envelope, and I sealed it, and I had it all ready to go. Guess what anointing oil on a handkerchief does to a piece of paper? This thing bled through. It looks like it has been soaked in anointing oil on the outside. I pray it gets through the post office and they don't pull it for the dog to sniff it to make sure it's got the right stuff. But it is a different looking envelope that's going to my friend Denny. Let's lift him up in prayer. Father, I thank you for Dennis. I pray that healing that we've already spoken into his body, just like into Danny. And just as I shared with Denny, now you just speak the word, I am healed, I am healed, I am healed, I am healed in Jesus' name. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. So if you're gonna live in God's perfect will and run the patterns that God has for you, then you have to know what it is. And when Jesus was asked, how do we pray? One of the most important parts was in Matthew chapter 6, verse 10, when he said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. God, what is your will? What is your will in this situation? We as people, I'll use myself as an example. I have to slow down to get God's will, or otherwise I will tell you or tell others or tell God what I think, versus finding out what he thinks. What I think is not important other than to be able to think like he thinks. And that sometimes we have a tendency to give our opinion before we know what the right opinion is. What does God think about this situation? What should we do? When you study the Word of God, Pam has read through the Word of God several times. How many times would you say you've read through the Bible? 10 at least, maybe 15, I know. I have a concordance, big and thick, and then I have it on my phone, but the first person I call for the concordance is my wife. And I'll say, honey, where is this? Would you say you don't know where everything is? No, I don't know where everything is. How many of you are like me? I can tell you where the scripture is. It's on a page in the right-hand top corner, but I don't know the number. But I know it's on the right-hand top corner, and I'll find it eventually. I don't know how that works in the mind, but I just know for me it works. So what we do, well, back to the Word of God. My study of the Word of God is when the children of God in the Old Covenant or the New Covenant ran God's play, they were always blessed. The blessings of God came upon them and overtook them. That is Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. If you will hearken unto the voice of the Lord your God or the will of the Lord your God, the blessings of God will come upon you and overtake you. We diligently seek, God, what is your will? Now show me how to run the route that you have for me. On a football team, any team really, but especially on a football team, all of the players have a part. Only one quarterback. Everybody's only one quarterback. The quarterback doesn't come into the huddle, and I realize a lot of teams don't huddle like they used to, but the quarterback doesn't come into the huddle and say, hey, center, what do you want me to play this time? What kind of play do you want to run? No, he doesn't ask the center. The center knows how to run based on the play that the quarterback calls. He doesn't want to know what all the people think. All the quarterback wants to know is, are you listening? Everybody say, am I listening? The answer comes to you listening and hearing from God. And I know you've heard me say this many times in this church, but God will never not tell you what he wants you to know. He will never not tell you what he wants you to know. And then once he tells you what he wants you to know, what he wants you to do, then you're responsible for running that route. Joshua, through the quarterback, God told him how to take Jericho. And he did exactly what the plan called for, and the success was there. He did it exactly the way the plan was from God. He ran the play exactly right. Joshua's next battle in Ai, he didn't know the plan. He didn't ask God. He thought he could handle it on his own. Can I see the hands of all the people? You have taken a scripture, pulled it right out of the Word of God, and made a decision to do something, only to find out you made a serious mistake. Can I see your hands? I took a scripture in when we first got to Tulsa, the first house we had. Remember that first house? It was beautiful, close to the mansion. I took this scripture out that my God will supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory. And then I took the fleece of Gideon out, because Gideon said, if you ask, Gideon fleeced God, rather. And so I'm getting ready to make my own call. I'm making my own play. I'm my own quarterback. And a little bit of pride, a little bit of ego. John 14:14, God will do anything. You ask anything in my name, I will do it. I had that scripture memorized. It was so short, and I liked it. God was working for me now. I never in my right mind said that. But that's basically how it was. God, here's what I want. So I put out a fleece, and I said, I'll lease this house because I know you'll supply all of my needs according to your riches and glory, so the money's not going to be any problem. And now I'll put a fleece out just to make sure it's right. I'll ask the owner, and we moved in in October, right? I'll ask the owner if he'll let me defer the rent payment until January. Oh, boy, that sounds like a good fleece to me. Well, I put the fleece out there, and the owner said, no problem. Well, I'll tell you what happens when you don't run God's play. You end up in a heck of a legal mess that took me a year to get out of. Glory to God. Turn to your neighbor and say, you need to know what the play is. We got into the biggest mess out there. I'm quoting a scripture. I'm fleecing God, and everything seems to be working, and I am going down the tubes literally. I didn't know the play. Ask your neighbor, do you know the play? You got to know the play that God is calling. You can't go stand next to a wall and scream at the wall to fall down. It may fall down on your head. You can't be screaming at a wall to fall down unless that's the play that God calls for you. Now, the other thing that you need on a football team, or any team, but especially on a football team, you need that spiritual chemistry. Now, I don't know how to explain it, but I guarantee you that Coach, is it Coach Bly? I forget his name. Brom or whatever, the new coach at Purdue. That coach, I can guarantee you, he's looking for who can really play their position and who can play it well or who can play it better. And he's looking for chemistry, that things that will fit together and flow together and they'll work together. And when the quarterback calls the play, the running back says, hey, he didn't call my number again. Or the guy's catching the pass. How about that Anthrop guy? My goodness, Lafayette Jeff. Or no, Central Catholic, right? Central Catholic. Wow, what a ball player. He caught some amazing catches. But, you know, he can't say, well, they didn't call my number again. I'll tell you what, this team sucks. No, that's not the way it works. Tell your neighbor, that's not the way it works. That's not the way it works. In the body of Christ, that's not the way it works either. You can't just be sitting around growling, mumbling, and talking about other people and complaining. You got to be happy when other people get ahead and have other people do it. Chemistry is important. Spiritual chemistry flowing together in unity. The body of Christ flowing together in unity. And one of the things, I know this is going on right now with the coach of Purdue. I just know this just based on what I've read about him. He got two quarterbacks. One quarterback played fairly well, the other quarterback played fairly well, and both of them made a couple of mistakes. And one quarterback had to be pulled out in the fourth quarter, whenever it was. And I told Pam, I said, can you imagine being that quarterback who's pulled out of the game, pulled to sit over on the sidelines, and he wants Purdue to win, and the other quarterback throws the touchdown right away, and you want to rejoice, but you also want to get your starting position back again. So there's that little friction inside you internally that's going on, kind of, what about me? Turn to your neighbor and tell him, it's not about you. It's not about you. There's a couple of fumbles every once in a while. There's a fumble. We all fumble. There's the fumble in that McCutchen game that turned the whole game around. McCutchen was really looking good. They were driving. All of a sudden, there was a fumble. Jeff got it, scored on the fumble, never looked back, and really ran away with it from that point on. But the fumble changed the momentum. How many of you know what momentum is like? How many of you know what it's like to have momentum and be without momentum? When you're without momentum, you're a sitting duck. But when you get that momentum going, you're ready to run the play. Come on, what's the next play, God? Instead of, I'm ready to go sit on the sideline. And we've got to understand how important it is. One of the things that will keep the chemistry going in the body of Christ and on a football team and on any team is to walk together in unity. Walking with unity, not with one another. Walking with unity of the Spirit. Ephesians 4:3. Everybody walking in unity. You may not all think the same play, but you walk in unity with the play. Ephesians 4:3 is the scripture. Always endeavor to walk in the unity of the Holy Spirit. When we're all walking together in the unity of the Holy Spirit, we'll all walk together in unity. But if we all try to walk together with one another, well, what will please you? Well, what will please you? Well, then we become pleasers. Let's all say it. No pleasers on God's team. No man pleasers on God's team, only pleasing God and going with the play that God has. And when we do that, we will accomplish God's plan and God's purpose. So this is how I want to sum this message up with you. It's Matthew chapter 6, verse 14 to 14 says that we should always walk in forgiveness. If there's one thing in the body of Christ that I have seen that is a constant challenge, it's not the fact that we run the wrong play. Now, I don't know if you can say this or not, but if you can, repeat this after me. Sometimes I will run the wrong play. And you may not want to say that, but I guarantee you, sometimes I have run the wrong play. But it's in Matthew chapter 6. Verse 14 and 15. It comes right after how Jesus told us to pray. And then it says, if you forgive those who trespass against you, your Father will also forgive you. But if you don't forgive, you won't be forgiven. I guarantee you, the coach is forgiving everybody that made a bad play, but he's telling them, listen. Don't do the same thing the next time. So therefore, what we've got to do is, are we ready to run the route that God has for us? And if we're ready to keep that chemistry and walk in the fullness of what God has for us. Don't ever underestimate your importance to the team. Don't ever underestimate your importance to the quarterback. And don't ever underestimate your importance to God. The center doesn't get much attention on a football team unless he screws up. And if he screws up, he gets all the... It's kind of like a sound person. Sound person back there, if something goes wrong here with this microphone, the sound people never do anything intentionally. They're always doing a great job. Matter of fact, give them a hand. They do a great job. But when the sound goes wacko, what do? We look all the way back there. The only time they get attention is something goes wacko. We need to, everybody look at the sound people and the PowerPoint and give them a hand right now. Usually the only time they get attention is if something goes wrong. But what happens is we understand that there are things that will go wrong from time to time, but we can correct it, and we can run the right pattern the next time. I've run some wrong routes, and I know this. If I listen, there's so much attention for your hearing, so much attention, too much information. We have too much information. We have information overload going on in this world. And if we'll settle down to hear from God, we'll hear from God. God will give us direction. God will show us what route to run. And God will show us that the center is important, the guard is important, the tackle is important, the defensive players are important. You let that quarterback have the guard not show up, he's toast, because somebody's going to annihilate him on every play. We're all important. Everybody say, I am important. But we know that we have to know the play the quarterback's called. Would you bow your heads with me just for a moment? I want to ask you the most important question you'll ever answer. Do you know without a doubt that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior? You have accepted him, and you know where you're going to spend eternity. And if you're here and you're not sure, or you're like a prodigal son, a prodigal daughter, drifted away from the things of God, let this be the moment that you come back to Jesus. And if I've described you, I'm going to ask you to slip your hand in the air, and we're going to pray for you. All over this church, we'll take just a moment. Lord, you know everyone that's here. Is anybody here? Now, while we're still bowed in prayer, how many of you would say, not could you run a better route, I think all of us could run a better route by knowing exactly what the route is. But how many of you, I know this is for me, could do a better job of listening to what God's perfect will and perfect route for you to run is? Can I see your hands? Just lift them up high. Father, you see every hand here. I believe that's our heart just lifted up to say, I can do a better job listening to you to know your perfect will for my life. You are the quarterback, and we never want to limit you, God. We thank you. We give you praise. Let's all make this confession. Lord, help me to still my mind and do a better job of hearing from you. I know this. You have a route for me to run. And my desire is to run that route. I pray in Jesus' name, and everybody said, we're going to give the Lord a hand in just a minute. But before we do that, I want to show you a couple of pictures. And I'm going to ask the ushers, just for time's sake, quickly pass out the offering envelopes. We're going to take up an offering that will go for the Hurricane Harvey efforts. A friend of ours, Terry Henshaw, has a ministry. Some of you visited that ministry in Indianapolis called the 99. And we're going to show a tent. This tent is 20,000 square feet. And this tent is going to be erected as close to Houston as possible based on the authorities. Right now, the closest we can get it as of yesterday, the day before, maybe Friday or Thursday, was Victoria, Texas, which is fairly close. But the desire is to get this tent into the Houston area. It is already having food supplies and other supplies and medical supplies sent to it. We'll go ahead and show you a picture of the inside here of the tent, which will show you that it will be set up almost like a grocery store where people will come in. People will be told about the love of Jesus as they come through there. I think we have another shot here coming up of all of the water that will be there, and then they'll eventually have clothing. This is food. They're working with Tyson Chicken. They have 100,000 pounds of chicken on the way. They have baby diapers. They have water. They have a lot of things. Here's what happens in a traditional tragedy. Catastrophe like this, everybody wants to do something, and I understand that. And there are first responders down there doing a great job. Sometimes they get nothing wrong with this, but sometimes too much of this, but not enough of this. And so Terry is on his way there, and he is setting up a command center there in this tent. I think we have another picture there, if I'm not mistaken. Maybe that was the last one with the water. But he's setting up a command center there right at the tent. And again, the desire is to be in Houston. And we're going to be involved financially supporting him, as will other churches. But also, he had asked for volunteers. And I know that's very difficult sometimes to do when you're this far away. But if any of you are interested, we have a table set up. We just need to get your name, cell phone number, and email address. And let us know the dates that you would be available to go down there. We'll coordinate all of it. Brad has been in touch with Terry, and Brad was going to be kind of the point person here. Brad, I believe, is going to be going down, but we're waiting right now to find out what is the need, how many people are needed, what type of things are needed. We don't know for sure about the clothing and other things. We don't just want to just pack up a bunch of stuff and send it down there, but we want to send them what they have need of. And while we're at it, I want to just say a word about Lakewood Church, Joel Osteen. They got some bad press, and the bad press was not what really transpired down there. Their church was open, but they were concerned about their church flooding. It was never closed to people coming into it. I watched Joel again this morning on Fox News explaining it. They are a distribution center down there also, and they're doing a great job. And you got to be really careful what you hear on these first reports and also what sometimes turns out to be fake news. So anyway, Lakewood Church is an awesome church, and they're really reaching out into that community. So we're going to pray that the people of God will respond financially to the needs that are there. Some of you, if you say, well, I can't go to Houston, and I understand that, but if you want to get involved additionally financially or know how to pray about certain things, my recommendation, and probably in this order, is Samaritan's Purse, number one, Red Cross and Salvation Army. Samaritan's Purse does an awesome job. Franklin Graham was down there with the president going through the areas, and so anyway, let's pray over these. Father, we pray over this offering. We pray over the need. We thank you for Terry Henshaw and what is called the Edge now, and the 20,000 square foot tent that is going to be a light of Jesus into that community with food and medical supplies and everything else. We thank you for the churches that are going to be surrounding that operation financially and with whatever their need is. Let us know what our part to play is. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. And everybody said, now let's give the Lord a hand. And let's all make this confession. Don't limit. No, like you mean it. Don't limit the quarterback. Go and be blessed. We will see you on Wednesday night.